Hi, I'm Henry Ranga, and with me is Steve Elzinga, and we're your professors for this class called Ministry Biz Skills.
Ministry Biz Skills?
Yep.
What is that?
It's a new thing, but we're not going to talk about it yet.
Why not?
Because we're going to talk about this, Henry.
Okay. Curious doing.
Curious doing.
So what is
curious doing?
Well, I like the word curious because curious has the idea of like green lighting, thinking of ideas, connecting to who you are as a creative person.
And that might relate to ministry biz.
Biz.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to share a verse, Henry.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6 says, "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally as well." That's one of my favorite passages in the book of Ecclesiastes. You tend to think of Ecclesiastes as a book that's kind of depressing.
Vanity, vanity, all is vanity.
Chasing after the wind.
Yeah.
But this one is incredibly positive. It's try this, try that, and usually people say try this and try that, and maybe one of them will succeed. But this verse says maybe both will succeed.
Maybe you're one who is raised to color in the lines. Someone who your father or your mother pointed out the wrong things or the things that didn't go right and made you feel bad about it.
Critical.
Yeah.
And so maybe because of that, you don't dare try things, or you're not curious because curiosity. There's a saying in America: curiosity killed the cat.
Right.
And so maybe some people, and maybe that's you, you're afraid to be curious, but we're going to give you permission to be curious.
So curious in ministry biz skills.
Right. So curious doing something. So we're going to be, obviously, in this ministry biz class, we're going to be talking about ministry and probably maybe business. And we're going to be talking about you attempting to do something. But before you do anything like that, you have to have the right mindset. I guess that's what we're talking about.
You know, one of our mentors made a big point about doing. And when he would meet us, Rich DeVos, early on, he goes, "You guys are doers." Remember that?
Yes,
doers.
Yes.
What do you think he meant by that?
I think because there's so many people that talk but never do. In other words, you can be a curious person.
Yes.
But you never do anything.
Right.
And I think the trick is putting the two together. Be curious about possibilities and actually try out a few.
I want to go back to that Bible passage. Is that actually in that passage? Sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, whether both will do equally well.
Right. Exactly. So, it's extremely positive. I mean, it's maybe more positive than what you've experienced in your life. But the point is, try something. Think about things and then try things. Let's go to another verse, Henry.
Okay.
All right. Matthew 28, 18 through 19. These are Jesus' last words to his disciples, his marching orders to us. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations."
That's interesting. Go and make.
So you need to go. You can't just sit on the couch. You can't just sit in your house. You need to go. You need to try something and make things happen. In fact, that's what God the Creator did, right? I suppose he could just sit back and, I don't know, whatever God did before he created the world, but he wanted to do something, and he created us in that image to do something.
It's a very ambitious commission. So Jesus has his ministry. He dies on the cross. He rises from the dead. He's with his disciples, and it's not what would be common for a rabbi back then would be start a school of thought.
Right. And let's just contemplate things.
Right.
And yes. And think about things rather than do things. And I think you're taking this class because you have a thought that it might help you actually do something, something creative, something that would help you with your ministry, something that maybe can help you in the business.
Can we define ministry biz now, or are we still waiting on that?
We're still waiting on that.
Oh, we're still waiting. Okay, I thought it was going to come at the go and do and make disciples.
All we want to do right now is motivate you to want to do something.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're not at ministry biz yet.
No, we're the great reveal is going to come in the next lecture.
Oh, yep. So we have to wait the whole lecture.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're just trying to motivate you to get in the right frame of mind before
the curious doing frame of mind.
In the curious doing frame of mind. I mean, if you think about your own ministry,
right?
Can you think about how you did that?
Yeah, you know, we started together in 1990, really 1990. And one of the things I liked about you right away is we were talking about church planting, but we were curious about how to reach more people right away. And I was interested to hear your ideas, and we had met at seminars and everything like that. And what I want to do right away is to apply some of these things to reach more people. But I remember I remember some of the early days too. I was sort of stuck on some of the thoughts I had in our relationship, and then in our mentorship. It meant I had to sort of back off from some of my, like, I think it should be done this way, and move into a curious type of thinking.
Like being open-minded.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, we met, when did we meet? 1990?
Well, we started, like, it was 89 or 1990. Yeah. I've been quoted to say both. And honestly, right. I'm not 100% positive, but it's right around in that era.
Right. And we were both church planting. I was in Vancouver, you were in
Chicago.
And we were trying things.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
And you know, we used each other as soundboards, and we tried a lot of things, and probably half of them just didn't work out.
Maybe more than half did not work out.
But we CLI wouldn't exist if we hadn't tried all those things.
Right. It seems like every single thing that tried, even the failures, were a stepping stone to launching Christian Leaders in 2001, 2006 CLI, the Alliance, the college. I mean, it seems like there's lots of failure along the way to that journey.
Right. But if you don't, one of my favorite sayings is, God cannot steer a parked car.
That's good.
And I think a lot of people are sitting in the driveway holding the steering wheel going, okay, God, I'm willing to give you my life. I surrender my life to you. So, you know, just point me in the right direction. And God is waiting for you to get going out of the driveway and
right.
You know, maybe make a few wrong turns. But, you know, God can correct you.
Right.
You know, we're so worried about turning the wrong way.
Right.
But if you turn the wrong way, God can correct you.
Right.
But step one is to just try. Get out there and try.
Have you been in a situation where you tried something and failed? Just think about that a moment. So how did you feel? Some of you maybe felt like, I'm not trying that again. Have you been in a situation where you failed and then tried something, and all of a sudden you realize that, you know what, it's not personal. Failure is just an event. It's not personal to you. You tried something. You dared something. And this class is going to be in that mindset.
Yes. You have to have the mindset of trying and learning. You know, no one gets up here right away. It's always a process to get there. But if you don't try, then you can never get there.
That's right.
So what we want is you to have a curious, open mind, and maybe I can do it with the help of God attitude. We have one more verse.
Okay.
Genesis 1:26, this is right in the beginning. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God, what do you make of this?
Well, I think of, like, the thousands of things that could be said after God created. And, you know, he could have said a lot of things. But he points out the crown of his creation, you and me, and he says that our essence is about having dominion, about ruling, being victors, stewards. That's our essence. Creativity is right there at the core of our design. That's very powerful to me.
So really, we're just saying, have the attitude that God created you to have.
Right.
And sin, in some ways, has put a damper on that. Sin comes and says, you're going to make a mistake.
Right.
You're going to disappoint people. You're going to disappoint yourself. You're going to let people down. You're going to let yourself down. So just keep playing it safe.
I have a question for you, Steve. So those blocks to curious doing, let's talk about some. You just started mentioning a list. Yeah. What would you say are the five blocks of curious doing?
Number one, I think, is a lot of people would say, I'm just not curious, or not creative.
They would just say, I'm not creative. I'm not a creative person.
Yeah, so sit down and think about some curious thing to do. I can't think of anything. Right? And that's what people do.
Right.
They right away say they can't think of anything.
Okay.
And then they don't go any farther.
Okay, so that's one, is just the mentality, I can't think of anything. It's excluding yourself from even engaging in the process.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think number two probably is past failures.
Ah.
And
you're still sort of self-loathing from something that happened in the past.
You know, I try, you know, especially if you haven't, if you're not an outgoing person, you're not a person who tries all kinds of things. For example, you go to a restaurant and you order. A lot of people just order the same old thing that they've always ordered.
Right.
And then sometimes you think, well, you know, maybe I should order something different.
Right.
And then you did, and you hated it.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'm not doing that again.
Right, yeah.
So it's like when we get burned one time, that keeps us going in a certain direction for a long, long time. And it makes sense in some ways, but you don't know what you're missing.
Right.
And, you know, if you have to go through a few bad experiences to get there, well, that's so be it.
Okay, so that's two. So a failure is the second one. So what's the third thing that just sort of like dampens curious doing?
Probably, you know, I suppose that's related to the failure thing, but maybe worried about what everyone else thinks.
Okay. Well, it is a little different in that if what will someone think of me? Will they shame me if I tried something and it failed?
And even if it has succeeded, right? You might be starting a new business and people go, that's not going to work. People have you in a pigeonhole.
The prophet is not honored in his own town.
They see you as what you have been.
Right.
They don't see the potential you. And all of a sudden you get inspired and you want to try something and then you tell a few people. A lot of times they'll go, really? You think you could do that?
Right.
You're number one, you don't have this gift, you're not good at, you know, and they list out all
I think getting into the next thing is you just, number four is that you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, you just don't know how to do something. And you don't know where to find out how to do it.
And then you're not confident.
You don't have the confidence. You feel alone, like there's no support system.
Yeah.
There's no one to tell you what to do next.
Right.
Like in sports, you know, it's nice to have somebody who's better than you are, and then they tell you, hey, this is what you're doing wrong, or this is what you could work on next. If you're on your own, and everyone around you is like telling you you can't do it, or you shouldn't do it, or you're incapable of doing it, then, you know, now you're swimming upstream.
So I'm just getting these straight. So one is I can't think of anything.
Right.
Two is a fear of failure.
Yeah.
Three is what people think of my attempt, good or bad.
Yeah.
Fourth, I just don't know how right. to do something that's creative. So what's the fifth common one in your
opinion? And maybe related to that one is I don't have a mentor. I don't have a teacher.
Oh, okay.
I don't have someone.
A supportive environment.
Supportive an environment.
To succeed.
Inspires me to succeed. Or, you know, and maybe sixth, you don't know what you're gifted at. You don't
right.
know who you are. You don't know.
And that might be related to one. Because yeah. I can't do anything.
Right.
So then so you're really a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to I can't do anything and I will not do anything.
Okay, it was easy to find the problems. What's the solution to those problems? So number one.
Number one is to bring it before the Lord and pray about it and say, Lord, I want to be a curious doer.
Right.
And I want to change some of my negative patterns of thinking and some of the habits that hold me down.
Yeah.
So I would say that's number one.
Okay.
Do you have a number two?
Well, I was just going to go with the numbers that we said. There was a block, and what's the answer to that block?
Ah.
So our number one in our thing was, I can't think of anything.
Oh, so that's right.
So I think it relates to, you know, start with prayer.
Yeah.
I think for most people, they sit down in the first 2 minutes, they can't think of anything, and they go, I can't think of anything.
Right.
Sit for a half an hour, and don't move until you think of something.
Right.
Get a piece of paper out and go, I am going to have three things written down on this piece of paper, regardless of how stupid they might be. And guess what? Within 10 minutes, you're going to be writing something down.
You know what I do, Steve? If I have a, you know, something hits me, like I'm interested in doing something, but I can't think of what it is. Okay, so I know, I even feel it. Okay, I will go to bed at night and pray that through the night, the Holy Spirit will
give you a dream
or anything.
A
like even a, what it is. Like for instance, we're talking about something that we're doing with CLI or whatever, and there's a problem. And I can't think of anything.
Right.
But I know it's a problem. I get an email from one of the customer service, there's a problem. And I have no idea. In fact, I don't even, can't think of anything, no creativity. And I know that if I go to bed at night and pray, then in the morning when I'm doing my devotions, it's as if sometimes the Holy Spirit yeah. just gives a whole train of thought, like way more than what I could actually do, but I start opening the door to the Lord.
Yeah. I think the God created you, a person in His image, which means you're a creator. Now, mm-hmm. sin has dampened that, and we allow our negative thoughts, I'm not curious, I'm not creative, I can't do this.
Right.
And we have all these mental things that are putting a lid on the way God created us. So I think what you said in the beginning, step one, just pray. God,
right.
take the lid off
right.
and let me do how you created me.
So number two is failure. So how do I get past some of my past failures in a positive way? And some of these failures I paid a big price for.
Yeah.
Maybe some of you have been in jail. Some of you have gone through divorce. Some of you have lost your family. Some of you have been an addict or a drunk, and God changed your life. But that failure, the prophet is not honored in his own town, her town, and some of you feel that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking about this curious doing here,
yeah.
and you have no idea what failures look me in the eyes.
Right.
And here comes this class, and you're raising my hopes when I've tried things,
yeah.
and I have failed before.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier not to try than to keep hoping and then failing all the time.
Right.
But the other way to think about it is, you only have one life, and there's only so much time.
Yeah.
And it, you know, maybe part of the goal is to see how many failures you can actually
accomplish. Well, like, I'm on failure 400,022,
yeah.
and I only have 224,000 failures left
yes.
in
yes.
my life.
Maybe. You know, maybe we've made failure such a negative thing. Maybe it isn't. It's just, failure is just a measure of how many things you've attempted.
Right.
I mean, you know, baseball people fail most times they get up to the plate. Sports, it's most plays are failures. And then once, you know, like in soccer, they finally after
all these failures,
an hour, someone kicks it in and everyone goes crazy. So
right.
I think, you know, The way I got over failure was I failed enough times that
it was no longer your Lord.
Yes, right. Yeah, the avoidance of failure was no longer my Lord.
It did not rather master you.
And number one or number two, we win.
Right. In Christ Jesus Christ.
We win. So there's no failure.
Right. We're here for a purpose, and God has us.
And all we're doing is trying to discover God's will for our life.
Okay.
That's it.
Number three is people. Okay, so...
what people think.
Yeah, what people think.
Yeah.
That is an obstacle to curious doing.
You know, and one way is to get new people.
Right. Right.
Or, you know, at least a few supportive people that get what you're trying to do.
You're looking for curious doers who love people who curiously do things.
Right. I mean, how have we succeeded in doing crazy things? At least because we had each other.
Our wives are very positive. Yeah. Our mentors. Yeah. And there are people, and we can mention names and we won't, that we had to sort of get a boundary and move out of our lives because they were naysayers.
Yeah.
And they would be like, we have ideas, and would knock them down. They have another idea, knock it down.
Yes.
And there's a difference between a naysayer and a critical person. Yes. My father was extremely critical. But what I loved about my father is his point was to help my ideas get better.
Right.
So there is a fine line between the naysayer and the person who...
A real naysayer is someone who just is critical but offers no support in the direction you want to go.
Right.
They're just saying, that's stupid, you're no good at that, you can't do that. A critical, helpful person is, I think if you did it this way, you could succeed.
Yes, like you know, my wife is, you know, writing, editing, is always finding ways that what I say is better.
Right.
And now her critical eye for words
over
this 37 years is amazing.
Right.
So I have to be careful not to see what she... Looks, you could say it this way. Don't take it critically, or don't get offended by it.
Right.
Welcome it.
She's helping you do what you want to do.
Right. Now, some of you have been beat down so long by so many people.
Right.
All of this could feel, really? I could make new friends. I could get new people. What if I'm married to that naysayer?
Yeah. Well, you know, not wanting to do another topic, but one thing is to, you know, if you want to change somebody, you recognize it when they're going in the right direction.
Okay.
So the minute they say something nice, you jump on board with both feet and say, wow, this is so awesome, and thank you for your encouragement. Because if you're critical of that person, how come you can't support me? How come you never? And then they get negative and they get grumpy. And
you see, so I think it's important we talk about this because a lot of people close in their life have a naysayer.
Yes.
And that is your excuse to not be a curious doer anymore.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And you have had that excuse for a long time.
Right.
And it's held you back. This is sort of a very uncomfortable decision, elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And you feel like you can't do anything about it.
Right.
And we're here to say, just possibly by God's grace and through His help, maybe.
Yes. You can.
You don't need to divorce that person.
No.
Remember, we're Christians.
No.
You know, death to you part.
No.
But still... Pushing away.
And, you know, sometimes the naysayer in your life is maybe part of your motivation.
Right.
Like, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
And sometimes you can win over a naysayer by actually sticking with something. One reason sometimes we have naysayers in our lives is because we've started things and never finished any of them.
Right.
And so they've heard us get excited about things. And we never followed through. And why didn't we follow through? Maybe we didn't have the support system. Maybe we're that kind of a person. Maybe. So we're contracting with you in some ways in this course to try to help you maybe get out of some of those negative patterns.
Well, and I know one thing I see you've done well over the years is get input in such a way that doesn't kill the impulse or the idea. So, you know, if you ask that critical person who at times is a naysayer,
right.
You know, maybe it's like, here, I remember one exercise we did. We had a very complicated branding name to figure out.
Right.
And everybody disagreed in our staff.
Yeah.
So then we came back and prayed about it. And I remember you had suggested, well, you know, maybe we should just put five things down on paper and then have everybody vote. You know, and maybe there's ways in which, without being manipulative or being transparent, like, right. You know, there's three ideas about this idea, honey.
Right.
What one do you think is the best?
Yes.
Rather than saying, what do you think about this? I don't like it.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
Yeah.
I don't like it. You know,
and that's true. I mean, if you present one idea to someone, most people are going to not like it.
Why?
I mean, I think it's because you're presenting something, so you're being creative and you're offering something. And then the other person, in order to feel good about themselves, they have to present something, but they don't have an idea.
So if you have one option and you like it, that means I have one role to not like it.
Yes, because what role do I have? I can't think of any new thing to put on the table. You did that. You did the creative thing. And I don't have a creative thing. So my only role is to be critical. So if
right.
you come to someone, you have a creative idea, and you think of another one alongside of it, and you come and say, hey, could you help me choose between these two ideas? Now you're giving them a role.
Gotcha.
A positive role.
Right.
Rather
right.
than the other way, there's only a negative role.
And in this class, we will talk more about some of these things. Now, the next thing is to do something to my brain, to my knowledge base, to my
to learn. That's what this class is about.
Right, right.
To help you.
You're here.
We're here to help you learn about what it is that you could possibly do with the ministry biz.
We're not going to talk about the ministry biz until the next presentation.
Next presentation.
So then the last thing we talked about, what was that again? I don't remember. Well, it was really good. You can go back to your notes.
You're stuck with that one. No help on that one.
You know what? We'll make sure that we'll touch on it later.
Yeah.
So now you sort of got the idea. Notice how we had failure there. But we're not processing failure in a negative way.
Good.
And if it does come to us what it was, you know, we
will let you know.
We'll let you know.
Maybe.
You know, the thing about it is that you're here because the Holy Spirit prompted you to, like, just maybe a ministry biz. I have a deep need. Maybe you're a bivocational minister and you need to get some support, and yet you love ministry, and maybe that's why you're here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're here because you're retired and it's just interesting for you to think about ministry biz. You saw that ministry biz skills and you say, what is that? I'm curious. Maybe you're here because you have a big dream.
Right.
For how ministry biz, though, you don't even know where it's defined yet because he won't get into it yet. And you're just like curious, and you've already clicked over and looked at it and come back. Maybe that's you. I know you. I don't know why you're here.
Yeah.
But this class, I know for us, we are pumped about doing this class. We're excited about it, and we're excited how God is going to take this class and help you figure out your role, how you can be ruling over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and go proclaim the gospel to all nations and cast your bread upon the water and see what comes back. So welcome aboard, and we're going to see where this is going to go.